Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Vivian Hildebrandt and my partner in Back to Brilliance, Lynn Hoft, and we're here for the Back to Brilliance Hour. Our session tonight is called Mood Management and Expanding Consciousness, and we're welcoming you to the call. We're glad you're here. We really want to talk tonight about this expanding consciousness. It's really the goal that many of us have, excuse me, and actually mood management, being able to handle our moods, is going to shift us into expanding horizons and awareness much sooner than if we didn't know how to manage the moods. So our goal tonight is really to learn three things: to recognize moods and how they work, and to know that moods are part of our human experience. Second, to understand how to manage our moods so we can shift from a lower mood to a higher mood and thus a higher consciousness. And third, to activate the power of our true self, brilliance. And you can substitute any true self you have here to activate that power to eliminate all blocks to our expanding awareness.
Hi. This is Lynn. Nice to be here with you this evening. The objectives for our discussion are, first of all, you will know the fundamentals of mood functioning, what they are, the impact they have on us, and our role in mood expansion, and then how to limit and relieve the effects of moods. Next, you'll be seated in your core of brilliance, using love to move us through our low moods and to recognize and celebrate our high moods. And third, you'll be able to do by acting from brilliance, to shift to higher states of awareness and raise the frequency of our communities and our world. We will be opening up the phone lines after our presentation and station break. We'd love to have your comments and questions at that time. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start us off here. Our first area of discussion is mood basics, like basics 101, moods. What are moods? How do they affect us? How can we manage them? I have to tell you, for myself, I never paid much attention to moods. You know, I knew when I was having a great time, and I knew when I wasn't. And that was kind of it for me. But really, moods are a natural part of life. We all have them. Like the tides, they flow up and down throughout the day. I also like to think of them like the waves on the ocean. There's kind of this rolling effect as the moods come through. So they can actually pattern both of those concepts. There's a little different motion to it, but they both work as far as an analogy of how moods might look or feel. So we have ups and downs throughout the day. A lot of people have mood cycle drops before lunch. You know, they know they've waited too long to eat and they start getting real irritated or tired. Some people have a late afternoon ebb, like around 4 o'clock. If I could just take a nap, I think I'd make it till dinner, you know. Becoming aware of moods helps us to check our lifestyle and correct the way we live if need be. Getting more sleep, eating more often, staying well if we can to alleviate the onset of a longer-term mood. For children, and particularly because their systems are so much more susceptible than those of our adults, but what they're eating and what we are eating can make a huge difference in our moods. Food additives, some of the dyes that are in our food can just make a night and day difference in the way a child is able to think and sit still and feel comfortable in their skin, so to speak. Having been a teacher for many, many years working with all age levels of children, I often observed children after lunch, some of them, depending on what they'd had for lunch, watching them squirm around in their chairs. It was like they couldn't even stay in the seat. It was like so hard to just sit down, like they had little electric wires running through them or something. It's really sad. When just omitting some food dyes would have been a big help. Okay, so that's another impact of moods and the fact that they can be affected by external factors as well, like food, drink, and they can be the trick is to learn to recognize your own moods and how they're working for you. So that you can figure out some triggers to catch yourself before a mood goes way beyond what it needs to. I mentioned, reflecting back to the idea of like waves on the ocean, they're up and then they're down, and some of us have like 3 or 4 cycles like that in a day's time. But if we find ourselves having an unusual day where we're just feeling like in the basement, so to speak, then that's something to pay attention to. There's something else going on there. If there's been a tragedy in our family or some bad news or something like that, we can put our finger on that and say, yeah, I'm feeling really upset because this happened. But there's also people getting sick, you know, you get that flu that's going around and all of a sudden you feel like you got hit with a cement truck and you can hardly move. And your thoughts aren't particularly joyful and healing at that moment. You're just kind of like, oh, we all know that's how that song goes. Anyway, being aware of all of those things gives us an edge on understanding our moods and understanding what we need to watch out for so we can manage our own moods better. In other words, we don't have to be blindsided all the time. We can't expect to have moods, and we can, if we're paying attention, figure out when they're those general daily ripples that kind of ride along with us up a little, down a little, or when we're getting hit by a tidal wave, and being able to look around and try to identify the source of that low mood, because there always is one. The other thing that I didn't mention is just basic body chemistry, which can be, I guess I reflected on this talking about the children in the schools and how their lunches often created a change in behavior. But, you know, we all have those things. We all learn to recognize what foods we can tolerate, how we react to different things that we eat. And then there's the impact of our thoughts. There are some people who seem to walk around in low moods all the time. The glass is half empty, always, people. It's ain't it awful, and it's going to get worse. And that's a habit of thinking. Probably if you looked in that person's background, you would probably find someone who, in their family, who they were close to, who had that pattern, and they're just modeling that behavior, or they have a similar mindset that precipitates that kind of a low, always looking for the dark first instead of the light. That is something also that a person can work with themselves to shift, or at least to go to neutral. I mean, in our work with brilliance, the idea is not that brilliance is neutral, but it's in the now, it's in the moment. It's how do we get connected to this moment so that this ride of the moods doesn't bowl us over or diminish what we are working on, working with, being, giving to life in that moment. And then there are those people who have a glass half full view. George Pransky used to tell a real funny story about this old couple, and he was a glass half full. He looked at everything and expected the worst. And then she was a woman who always looked on the bright side. So anyway, I'm trying to communicate with Viv here. I'm not understanding what she's trying to tell me. But anyway, we're almost finished with this first section. Understanding how thinking is critical in understanding moods. Thoughts create feelings. We give our attention to the thought, and then that keeps the feelings going. So it, just in case you're one of those glass half full kind of people, and you look at your life that way, and something happens, and it could be neutral. You know, a car pulls out in traffic and almost causes an accident. And so you could look at that as a glass half empty person and say, boy, that guy almost killed us. Boy, we almost lost our lives. These drivers, they don't know what they're doing these days. We can go on and on with this thought pattern that takes us down in a downward spiral. And what happens when we do that? We create feelings of fear, of pain, of agony, of being unsafe, all of those kinds of things. So learning to be more balanced with our feelings is becoming actually more able to impact our thinking process. In other words, that we know that we choose what we think and what we put our attention on, and that we can be in the driver's seat in our lives. Okay, there's one more section here. How can we manage our moods? And I've actually been sharing some of those things as I've gone along, but these are kind of like, this is like the big picture of how do we manage moods. We know that moods are just normally, on normal days, these ripples that go up and down, up and down. You can have a really bad day where it seems like you woke up, it was down, and it, if there was any way it could get farther down as the day progressed, it seems to do that. Thank God we don't have very many of those days. Well, I hope you don't. Or we have other days where, my gosh, I'm on top of the world. Everything looks so bright and clear. I know just what I want to do with that project. And here's the key. Moods flow up and down. We have a friend, Zanna, who created this mood inventory, and is just real simple inventory. If you think of a thermometer that rises and falls, it gets hot when it goes up and it's cold when it goes down. That could represent moods. A monitor of our moods. So here's a couple of things that you can do to take advantage of your moods in more ways than one. First of all, if you wake up and you're in one of those, oh my God, low mood days, the most important thing you could do is recognize that you're in a low mood and that the mood is in control. The mood is determining the way things look for you in your life. Somebody else could be having the same day without a low mood and see a whole different picture. But in your world, you're seeing as a low mood, a low mood. And Zanna's deal on the thermometer was there was like from like 0 at the bottom to 10 at the top with 5 in the middle. If your mood is below a 5, that's a wake-up call. Pay attention. If your mood is below a 3, you're in trouble, and you're going to have to take some serious steps. If your mood's going down like at a 1, that's the day you call in sick. You take the day off. You ask for a mental health day. You stay in bed. You watch a movie. You go for a walk. You do whatever it takes to keep your attention off all those thoughts that are flowing around from that mood. And it's possible that you've had some crisis and it feels like you have to take care of it right now. But I'm here to tell you that's how moods feel. When you are in a low mood, it always feels like I have to do it and I have to do it now. So how could I take the day off work? Or how could I sit back? Here's the biggest reason why to pay attention and to take care of yourself when you're in a low mood. And that's the fact that we create the worst messes in our lives when we act in a low mood. It's that simple. And then you can spend the next 3 to 5 years cleaning that mess up. If you've just taken a day off and given yourself a chance to get through part of that mood, recognize it's just a mood, recognize you will recover, it's going to go up, it's going to go down. That's the way life is. Okay, so that's the critical pitch about understanding low moods. Now, here's the good news about high moods. When your mood's gone above a 5 and it's hit 7 and it's moving towards 9, that is a amazing moment, because those don't happen too often. That's when you want to make decisions. That's when you want to look through that material you've been studying about investments and make a choice. That's when you want to look at your life plan and tweak it if something comes up, because in a high mood is means you're really in your brilliance. It's like filling you up completely, and that's where your attention is. And you can use that attention to have your moods work for you. So with moods, you want to check your thoughts and make sure you know what you're paying attention to.
And our second point is here. It's called the mood-consciousness connection. And believe me, there is a big connection between our moods and our consciousness. Let's start with a couple of questions. What is consciousness? Quite simply, it is what we are aware of. It's a very simple way of looking at consciousness. It's what we are aware of. What do we have to do to expand our consciousness? Well, for me, and probably for you, I have to clear what is blocking my joy and my happiness. Because when I'm in joy and happiness, my consciousness is high. There's a good vibration there. Now, this is the happiness that comes from deep down within. It's not just, well, I bought a new iPhone, or I got a new lipstick, or I got a new dress, or whatever. It is that deep down happiness. It's truly our natural state. But oftentimes it gets covered up by all the things that are happening. It gets lost. We don't think we can find it. So whatever it is, and usually for me it's a way of thinking, I have to clear out what isn't working. If I'm in a low mood, I know something's going on in my head. And I have to clear out whatever is distracting me from love and keeping my attention on limits, you know, or something about life. If I'm seeing limits or deficits in myself or somebody else, then I know I've got to let that go so that I can get back to that inner self that I truly am, my natural state. So simply, again, consciousness is being aware of what is. Now, are you aware of what is good and wonderful in your life? Well, then your vibration and your consciousness are going to be high. Are you aware of what you believe is bad or hard or not fair? Well, then your consciousness is definitely going to be low. But guess what? We get to choose. We get to choose where we put our attention. And that fact and that act of choosing actually changes our consciousness. When you choose to see the highest around you, even in a hard time, doesn't mean you ignore what's hard. It means you see that highest resource or support or someone who cares for you, and you put that into action so that you can take care of what is not working, you know, something that you have to take care of. So it's simple, yes, but the trick to eliminating these blocks and barriers is that you've got to make that choice so that you can live in your highest state of consciousness. And those barriers, those little thoughts, those little patterns, they are stuck tight in our egos. Now, I'm sure you recognize ego. We hear a lot about it here and there, but ego mind has been running our show for eons of time. You know, in the past, when I was letting my ego take full run, I was sort of writing the book like The World According to Vivian. And we all, you know, we all fear looking bad, or we don't want to be hurt. Sometimes we fear if we're not pleasing someone else, and much more. So the ego, you know, paints a little picture of us and then maintains that image. So it defends us from attack. It defends that image that we have. It kind of protects me. But in doing so, it keeps me from seeing a bigger picture or from seeing the truth about what's going on. Now, ego mind was created to perceive this personal viewpoint, mainly what's good for me. And the ego mind was really supposed to then speak with the heart, where the viewpoint would be what is good for everyone. And then your life and your decisions could be based on this big picture. But somehow the ego mind was shifted and just began to take over from the heart. And instead of giving attention to the heart and this energy of oneness with all that is in the world, the mind took over, the little ego mind, and was given the top priority, and it became like the master of everything. It's like our little computer that went wild, and there you go. So it's really important, you know, to recognize this ego and the thoughts that go with ego. That ego mind took over, and look what happened. Look what happens to us in terms of happiness. Some people find it so hard to find happiness. Look what's happened in the world. How many wars, how many killings occur because the ego mind has to be on top. You know, it can't compromise. So luckily for us, the heart mind is now back online with the energy in the world today. Our hearts, it's like our hearts are growing, like the Grinch. We are this energy of the universe. We are the highest energy, brilliance, higher self, whatever you want to call it. Our hearts are filled with love. We are that love because all the energy in the universe that has created everything is love. Now, we use this wonderful word that's called brilliance, and we want everybody to tap into it because we are big fans. But I have to stop paying attention to all the shoulds, all the old ways of thinking about me and everybody else, and I have to stop paying attention to those rules that we got from somebody, either our parents or our society, that says, now, this is how you raise kids, or this is how you act in a relationship. And when I can let go of that, then the heart and the heart mind informs me how to let love move through my whole life, every part of it. And in times where it's busy and crazy and there's pressure from a lot of places, it's not easy to let the heart rule, but it's time. It's time. The heart shines a light on the best way to move ahead. That's why we need to start trusting our heart. And I know people say, oh, you're just a soft sell, or you're just this. No, that is old thinking. We need the heart to guide us in the way to actually save the world and to find, again, that deep, deep level of happiness. I have to let go of this little ego and all the fear it wants to create and all the worries it wants to create and all the concerns. And I have to start trusting this love inside of me. And if I do that, then I get the peace, the contentment, the happiness, and more. And that brilliance right there, going to it, living from it, that just moves those low moods straight away. Yes, we have hard times, I know. But we don't have to stay in them, and we don't have to let a mood that comes from those kinds of thoughts to rule in our lives. Now, the choice. We're back to the choice. It's simple. Do you want to be happy, or do you want to be unhappy? Do you want to feel joy, or do you want to feel despair? Do you want to bring light into the world or darkness? And this is not only our world personally, but those people around us. Which way do you want to be? It really begins with this choice to be brilliance, to be love. And especially in hard times, this choice, I think, is just essential. And when we do this, then we get to celebrate this higher consciousness, this awareness, this love that we have expanded into and that is so wonderful that it draws us back. It draws us back. This is the way we can live. Now, our last point, I'm going to start because I have a few things I want to say, and then I'm going to hand it right over to Lynn because she has things that she wants to share too. And the last point is this: activate your brilliance to expand your consciousness. And we both commented on this before, but let me say it again. Activate your brilliance to expand your consciousness. And here's a little quote from an article that we wrote. And I'm going to tell you that article is on our blog at backtobrilliance.com, and it's called Moods, the Missing Link to Self-Awareness. But here's the quote. Biggest mediator of moods is to remember who we truly are, the powerful co-creators of our lives and the world. And I really believe that. you know that Lynn and I are big fans of brilliance, okay? But we want to create a world where brilliance rules, where the heart rules, and I hope you want to join us. And what I want to share is that this energy self, this quantum energy self, our brilliant self, it's never been victimized. Our true self has been guiding us and directing us. It's sort of like if you think about your life as a play, you know, and we're on stage, that true self is there for us if we want to connect with it. And if you've ever looked back and you know, stood back really and looked at your life, I've done this many times actually, and look at how the events in your life have kind of woven together. Yes, some hard times, but oh my, so many resources and so much there for us. If in life, you know, this kind of analogy of a play, sometimes we forget our lines. But if we practice a little, you know, and particularly practice getting back to our brilliance, this beautiful power inside of us, we can learn every line and every last lesson and really remember who we are. And what emerges in us then is a strength and a trust that we are bigger than any mood or any circumstance that comes along. And once we remember and take on our role as the director of the play, this guide in our lives, as the light, the love, the brilliance that we really are, then we can move forward with ease and with joy and gratitude, no matter what. And what a life that is, particularly when so much goes on for all of us. Lynn?
Here I am. I'll bring it to a conclusion here. The word brilliance portrays light. You think of the brilliance of the sun or the brilliance of the lighting in a stage. The brilliance of a star. Our natural state of mind is this state of brilliance. It is all about light. And it's free of all limiting thoughts and beliefs. The deal is we tamp down, we darken and blur what is when we're looking at the illusions that our mind is creating. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, it wasn't separate realities, oh dear. Anyway, we were talking about habits of thinking that impact how our world appears to us. And what I'm trying to say here is that already it's like in the beginning, those words we have so strong, in the beginning we were and are brilliance. That's it. We are that light. We are one with all that is. We are a spark of the divine. And we are the divine. That's our true nature. That's our true self. It's when we get busy in our mind. I was talking a couple of weeks ago about thought attacks, and as soon as we take the ride on a thought attack, automatically our whole sense of reality shuts down. We go into laser focus on what's not working, and we create a lot of pain and despair and fear around whatever it is that we're being compulsive about, whatever our thought attack happens to be at that moment. And that's when we're functioning in a big way in a thought attack or if we're just stuck in a, it's kind of low mood thinking too, you know, when you're in a low mood and it's like having this, all these thought attacks flying at you from every side. But the bottom line is, if you're not paying attention, you're pretty soon you're just right down there with that thought attack mindset, low mood, feeling awful about things, or angry or upset. In other words, the train ran off the track. And that is why it's important to have some backup plans for when you get seemingly blindsided. It hit you and it came on fast, and before you knew it, you were into the experience. But that's at the point, if you can train yourself to remember, oh, this is not me. This is not who I am. This is not the truth of who I am. This is not who I want to be. Whoa. Take a deep breath. If you don't do anything else, take a few deep breaths. The art of breathing opens that flow to brilliance. It's just automatic. And so take a few deep breaths. You might want to go through one of those where you relax your shoulders, relax your hips, unlock your knees, however tensed up you've been feeling. And get some equilibrium back. That's the point. And you, at any time, you have the opportunity to do that. It's just a matter of remembering that you can and then doing it. And then I'm going to suggest that if you want to, this always helps me. I clear my fields. And what I mean is by my body's energy fields. And I just ask spirit to move through there and clear out anything that is blocking my balance, perfection, brilliance at that moment. And another really great piece I learned from Patty Kotorobos was using the violet fire. There are a number of teachers working now at this time of ascension that are using the violet fire. And Patty had it real simple. It's just blaze, 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 violet fire, transmute all shadow into light, light, light. That one little phrase, and envision those violet flames pouring through all of your bodies. It's just moving it out. It's just burning it out. It's just bringing you back into that moment of relaxation, of resting in the arms of love. And that's returning to your brilliance. And that's really, you can do it anytime, anywhere. You don't have to be all alone to do that. You can just do it with a whole group of people around. They don't know what you're doing, but you know what you're doing. You're getting your equilibrium back. As we were putting this talk together and we got down to this last section, I commented to Viv, that reminds me of that song out of the 60s. Actually, it was early 70s, but there was a song out, I Can See Clearly Now. And I just loved that song. And I can remember sitting by a lake with the sun shining on the water, and I was healing from a really tough life experience. And singing that song at the top of my voice and just being one with all the light. It was a sunny, bright, sunny day, and I was sitting out on the side of the lake, and it was just like, I can see clearly now. And there's that now, that every moment is waiting for us because we can see clearly in any moment. We see the bigger picture. We get out of our own way, and we move into the light that we already are. This is truly the expanded consciousness. When we activate our brilliance,
you're listening to the Back to Brilliance Hour with Vivian Hildebrandt and Lynn Hoff on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Lynn and Vivian.
Hello. Can you hear me? I was going to play a song, but I can't find it on here. And because we've taken up a lot of time already, I wanted to be sure to get back to those who would like to make a comment. I see we have someone in the phone lines at a 561 area code. Is there any question or comment you'd like to add this evening? Okay. There's also a person on the chat board. If you wanted to talk, you could call in at 347-237-5339. Our topic this evening was mood management and expanding consciousness. And I will share this. When we were putting these this brilliance work together over the last 12 years for adults, we didn't jump into the moods right away. We felt that the understanding thinking, feelings was critically important, and then moods comes beyond that, because mood, a low mood does involve a lot of low feelings. And, you know, it's, I hope that you're hearing us say that it's just, so much of this is old habits. It's just trying out, keep going. It's like going on automatic pilot is what I'm thinking. It's like, and we don't even know that's what we're doing. We've never been taught to do anything differently. I think the people that were first bringing out these studies in the 80s that I met, they were like on the cutting edge. And there was quite a group of professionals who were using these tools. You will probably remember Richard Carlson. He wrote all of those little books, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. I loved Richard's books. He also wrote a book called You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And I recommend that for anybody who's having problems getting in touch with their happiness. It also is one that teens can relate to. You Can Be Happy No Matter What by Richard Carlson. And anyway, there's been quite an interesting history. When Viv and I were talking about this just the other day, when when Sorry, I'm looking at this board. It's kind of blinking over here. I don't know what's going on. When we first were working with this work, we had to kind of just pull it all together ourselves. Jane Nelson is another one who, she wrote a book at that time. She called it Understanding. But you can Google Jane, and she still has a version of that book available on her website. She did all the positive discipline work that's being used in schools and also is wonderful training for little children and preschoolers to help teach them these tools. In fact, I interviewed a teacher one time who was teaching what we're calling the brilliance formula in a first grade classroom. And her stories were mind-blowing. Those kids were teaching their teachers, and they were teaching their parents. It was just amazing. Of course, they didn't have to overcome all those habits of thinking that they learned, and that's been a big issue for the rest of us. But I think particularly right now, and I'm speaking in times of ascension is going on. We just finished an equinox and experienced a huge expansion of energy on the planet again after the amazing light that came in December. Also, I think the end of this week is going to be the new moon, and that is going to be another major energy point. So it's like it's hard to keep up from day to day, and I find myself sometimes like almost cross-eyed with all this energy, and I'm finding that, you know, I really have to watch my moods, because they'll run away with me if I let them. And I just keep trying to remind myself that all is well. At this point, we've already fought the battle. We've already won. We're all positioned to go forward. And it's looking at it that way, from that fifth dimensional, we are all one, a wholeness. There is nothing to worry about. And it's when we get into the worry. I just had this really amazing realization over the weekend as we did some specific work on working out of ego mind and getting into heart mind. And the fact that it's that ego mind that thinks, I have to know how this works. I have to do my part, you know, like I have to make up some part to do, which is just silly. But it's like it'll slap you in a low mood in no time at all and be very frustrating. And those feelings are telling you, let go. Let go. Trust your higher self. Know that love is all around you. Know that your life, your growth, your path, and your experiences are all blessed. Wow, well, that was kind of a tirade. I hope that was all right. Anyway, since no one has additional comments for us, I do want to thank you all for listening in, and especially those of you that come in over the next few weeks. We truly enjoy having you and hearing from you. if you think of something, you might, and have a question, you can always go to our blog page and write the question in as a comment, and we will respond to those either, we'll try to respond right there on the blog page, but we could all, we'll also bring it up on the next call. I wanted to let you know that we're changing our format a little bit beginning in April. We are going to have two new topics, as we have been every month, two completely new programs. However, we're working on Tuesday nights. The first and third Tuesday, and probably the fourth Tuesday as well, though I haven't checked with B on that. We're going to do repeats of a couple of our earlier sessions because most of you weren't around when we started with those months last fall and, you know, almost 9 months ago. And they are, I think, some of the best work we've done. So I hope you'll stay with us and know that you can count on in April having a call every... Hi, is somebody there? Goodbye.